Continuing our series, revealing the champion in you. Revealing the champion in you. How many know that God has designed you to be a champion? All right. Now, I can go back and preach this, all these series again. Let me ask this again. How many know that God has designed you to be a champion? There you go. All right. I preach a lot faster when you're with me. Oh, there you go. You guys, some of you coming alive now. Well, today, we know that God has designed every one of us to be a champion inside of us, that no matter what our color is, no matter what our education is, no matter what our preference is today, we know this, that God has designed inside of all of us a champion inside of us, that he has designated a destiny for you, a purpose for you. And it doesn't make a difference if you are an athletic person or not an athletic person, whether you are a bookworm and have scored high scores on your ACT or you had a hard time. It doesn't make a difference today what that, where you are, where you fall in the equation. You notice that God is no respecter of persons. And today he has designed every one of us to live according to the championship of living that he's called us to do that. So we've been talking about how we live as a champion, how we can design and be the champion God has called us to be. And last week we started the message and we did part A. This week I'm going to do part B of this message that we started last week called Growing to the Champion God Designed You to Be. Growing to the Champion God Designed You to Be. Last week we looked at Ephesians 4:14. What says it like this, we are not meant to remain as children. Now, how many like that verse? Now, don't look at your spouse, please, let me read this. We are not meant to remain as children at the mercy of every chance of wind of teaching, but we are meant to hold firmly to the truth in love and to grow up. Everybody say it together. Say, grow up. Isn't that a good word? And to grow up in every way into Christ the head. And so we know that every one of us here are called to grow up in Christ, that there is a maturity, and that part of being the champion that God has called you to be is this process of embracing that God has called me to mature. And that if I walked in here today carrying a bottle and I took it out because I was thirsty and started drinking from a bottle, you guys would be like, man, this guy has lost it. Hasn't he grew up yet? Why is he still using a bottle? Well, some of us today, we walked in spiritually carrying a bottle. And that's okay if you are a new Christian. It's okay if spiritually you walked in carrying your bottle because you're a new Christian. Just like a new baby needs milk, so does new Christians. We're on the milk and we're learning to grow. But some of us, we've been a Christian a long time. Some of us have been a Christian for 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30. Even more years than that. And yet some of us still are walking around carrying our spiritual bottles because we have never learned to mature in Christ. And you say, Pastor, where do you get this idea that God wants us to mature? Well, God takes us through stages. And we looked at this last week, that when Jesus called his disciples, he said, hey, come and see. Come and see. That's what he told them. Hey, come and see what's going on. And his disciples, all right, cool. Jesus, we'll come and see. And they went and they hung out with them. And they just came and seen. And throughout the 3.5 years of his ministry of training his disciples, we see where they went through stages when he taught them and he revealed more to them and he discipled them. And at the end, he said, hey, man, if you want to be my disciple, you need to crucify your flesh, man. Take up your cross and follow after me. You got to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow after me. Now, if he had said that at the very first, they'd have been like, what? I ain't doing that. No way. But Jesus started off with spiritual milk. He said, hey, just come and see. Come and see. But he takes them through stages, and he took them to a point of saying, listen, you got to learn to deny yourself. And we see all along where Jesus meant for all of us to go through stages of growth in our spiritual walk. And so we are called to grow in stages. And part of growing into the champion God designed you to be is realizing that I am called to grow in Christ. And so we see that even in Colossians 1:28. It says, we continue to preach Christ to each person using all wisdom to warn and to teach everyone in order to bring each one into God's presence as a mature person in Christ. That's what the disciple says. We are preaching so that we can bring each one and grow them into a mature person in Christ. And so we know this is God's will for you and I, that we grow and mature. So how do we do that? Last week we started this sermon and we spent most of the time on introduction and got to the first 2 points. We talked about 8 ways to grow into the champion God designed you to be. Last week we talked about spiritual growth is intentional. It's intentional. You must make a choice to grow. You are as close to God right now as you choose to be. You're as close to Jesus Christ as you choose to be. If you say today, I don't feel very close to God, then I say, look at yourself in the mirror, because you are as close to God as you choose to be. We take responsibility. That spiritual growth is intentional. We grow by making commitments. We commit and grow in stage that, God, I'm going to make this next commitment. I'm going to grow in you. The second thing we talked about with spiritual growth is having a plan. That if you're going to grow, you got to have a plan. Just like we have a diet, if I want to lose weight, I got to have a plan. I can't just say I'm going to go on a diet tomorrow and not have a plan. I've got to go to the store. I got to buy my groceries a week ahead of time. I got to get rid of all my fattening food and get in there better protein, low fat, and all that stuff, whatever you want to do. And I got to have an exercise plan. Otherwise, I'm not going to lose any weight that week. It's just a guarantee you. I've tried it many times, and I know if I don't have a plan, I don't get anywhere. The same way with our own life. If I don't have a plan to grow, I'm not going to grow. I can't say, God, when I leave, I'm going to grow closer to you. God, I promise. I've done that before. God, I promise I'm going to grow closer to you this week. And then I go about and never have a plan on how to do that. And so we got to learn to put together a plan on growing. You got to know him. It comes in stages. You got to know him. Then you learn to love him, and then you learn to grow in him. You learn to serve him, and then you learn to share him. Well, today let's pick it up on point number three, which is spiritual growth is not just intentional, not just having a plan, but it's also personal. It's also personal. What I mean by this is spiritual growth is not customized, one size fits all. There is no one size fits all. Spiritual growth for me looks different than what's going to be for you. Spiritual growth for you is going to look different than what it looks for your spouse. Spiritual growth for you is going to look different than what it looks for your neighbor. That we are unique in our giftings. We are unique. That God has shaped us. Everybody is different. We know there's five things that make you unique. It's your spiritual gifts, your heart, your ability, your personality, and your experiences. All these things make you the unique person you are. That you are uniquely formed of God. And that none of us have the same personality, same heart, same abilities, same spiritual gifts, same experience. They're unique. We've all been through things in our life, but they're unique experiences to you and I. And so we are unique people. And so spiritual growth is a unique process. And that you cannot measure yourself by the person sitting next to you. And I've shared this story before as an illustration. I think it's a good analogy that when I play golf, that I cannot measure myself with the person I'm playing because many times, most of the time, they're better than I am, okay? Unless I'm playing pastoral staff, but besides that, a lot of these guys I play with, they're better than I am. So if I just continue to measure myself against them, I get very discouraged. But when I quit worrying about them and just worry about my score, and I try to do better, you know, on this next nine, I did the last nine. And the next time I went out, I tried to do better than I did last time I went out. I can do better at golf, and I can grow and become a better golfer because I am learning to measure myself against who? Myself. But if I measure myself up against somebody who's a lot better than me, I'm going to be discouraged all the time. I don't even want to play. And so I've got to learn to measure myself against myself because I am the person I'm playing against. Same way spiritually that when it comes to spiritual growth, that I cannot measure myself against my neighbor because we're at different stages. We're at different personalities. We're unique. And so I can't measure my growth and then look at my neighbor and say, why isn't he growing the same way I am? That is very wrong because they are unique to God. They are unique in their formation. They are unique in their abilities and their giftings and their learning abilities. Everything is so unique that spiritual growth is so personal. And so I don't get discouraged. So do not get discouraged when you look at somebody else and say, man, I wish I was where they are right now. No sense of me even going to church anymore. When I look at so-and-so, I'm just a failure. Spiritually, as a husband or as a wife. Man, I'm just such a failure. And that's not the key. The key is saying, you know what? Right now, I'm going to take personal responsibility for growing in Christ and say that right now I'm going to measure myself against who? Myself. And so 6 months from now, I should look back and say, you know what? I've come further along than I was 6 months ago. I am getting stronger in my faith than I was 6 months ago. I am learning more spiritual habits than I had 6 months ago. I am doing better in my attitude than I was 6 months ago. My mouth is getting better than it was 6 months ago. And I compare myself to who? myself, because spiritual growth is personable. We're all unique. We grow different ways. I mean, just think about it. We all have different personalities. We all have different tastes in music and TV shows and movies and dress, hairstyles, and cars. I mean, we all have different unique tastes. That's who God formed us to be. We all learn differently. This is how we grow. We know that we don't all grow the same way. Some people grow by listening. They grow best by listening. When they hear something, a message being spoken, then they hear that, they grow. Others grow better by the eye, what they see, when they see an illustration being brought forth, or when they see it on video, or when what they read. They do better when they read. They can learn better through reading than they can through listening, what they see. Others learn better by discussing. Others learn good by discussing what they're going through and what they're trying to learn. They discuss it openly. That's why our small groups are so important, because we get together and we learn and we share. When we go to a home group, we're sharing today's message and we're going over today's message and we're discussing it one with another about what did God say to you today and how did God relate to you. And we grow by discussing. We hear it, the message being preached. We may see it through a video illustration or through an illustration that pastor uses. That's why many times you see me using, that's why I preach for, 10 weeks from a recliner. That's why I use a fishing pole sometimes, or a suitcase, or a football, or a basketball, or things I use as illustrations, because people learn through seeing many times. Not everybody learns just through hearing. Some do better at reading. Some do better at discussion. So it's important as a church that we give multiple places to learn. It's personable. Today, we realize that a lot of churches just don't understand this principle. They think just because we preach that people should grow, and that's not altogether true, because everybody learns just by hearing it. You got to have a growth plan that is customized just for you. Learn to customize it. The Bible says it like this: to examine yourselves to see whether you're living in the faith. Test yourselves. We're to test ourselves. And I believe it's every 6 months to a year, you should give yourself a test. Give yourself a self-test. Where am I spiritually? Am I growing? Am I doing better as a husband? Am I doing better as a wife? Am I doing better as an employer? Am I doing better as a Christian, as a father, as a mother, as a student, as a son, as a daughter? Am I doing better as a friend? Begin to measure yourself and see, am I improving in these areas? And get a plan to help yourself improve. Spiritual growth is also practical. Very practical. What I mean is that we grow by developing spiritual habits. It's a very practical thing. Spiritual growth is not some mystical thing out there, like I'm just waiting for the Holy Spirit to overtake me. Woo! I'm going to grow in the Lord. Some mystical thing out there. Spiritual growth is very, very practical. Yes, the Spirit of God is going to grow in you when you do the practical things that He's called us to do. But the Spirit of God is wanting to fill us through practical things that we can do. Spiritual growth is very practical. We learned that, for instance, that the habit of spending time with God every day, daily alone time with God, it's a habit that we got to learn to do. You want to grow spiritually? Develop the habit of having some alone time with God. That's just a few minutes of being quiet before the Lord and saying, God, hey, man, is there anything you want to speak to me today? Is there anything you want me to do today? God, I'm just focusing upon you. Learning some alone time. Or maybe it's talking to God the first 2 minutes of the day like we talked about a few weeks ago. I had a lot of feedback from that, from people who told me that they were practicing this very principle in their life, and it's making a big difference in their attitude, on their job, in their home, in their marriage. And I encourage you to continue to do this. Take the first 2 minutes of everything you do and talk to God. Take the first 2 minutes of what, Pastor? When I first get up in the morning, I take the first 2 minutes of God. Today, it's your day, God. Direct me. When I get in my car to drive, and I take the first 2 minutes of that drive, say, God, lead my thoughts today. Lead my actions today. When I get to work, in my mind, I'm taking that first 2 minutes, I'm focusing on God. Help me be the best employer or employee I can be today. Take it when I'm going to drive home today. I take that first 2 minutes of my drive home. God, help me as I walk through my door to be the parent you called me to be, the spouse you called me to be. When I lay my head down on the pillow at night, take just a few minutes to God. Thank you for this day, God. Help me to grow. I mean, it's taking time to focus on God. Those first 2 minutes of the things we do. I guarantee you, this is a money-back guarantee, you can't help but grow. You cannot help but grow when you apply spiritual habits to your life. It's a very practical thing. Personal worship time. It's a personal thing. Personal Bible study time. I mean, we all need this. You've heard me preach many times on personal Bible study and journaling and learning to read the scripture into your life. I'm not talking about reading tons of scripture every day. Of course, that would always be good. But just learning even to take a few verses and reading that, maybe in your alone time with God, open up the scripture and say, God, just reveal your word to me today as I read it. And open it up and just read a couple of scriptures. Maybe start in the book of Psalms or book of Proverbs or the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Just take those things and read them just a few verses at a time and say, God, let me apply this to my life today. Personal worship time. Very practical. I would tell you, it affects me so much and my family so much when we don't do this. I try my best, and we do this quite often. I've shared this testimony before with you in a story. I think it will help you. On my way to school, when I take my kids to school, we don't turn on the Disney Channel. We don't turn on other music. I put on worship music because I want my kids to have that, just a little bit of time of listening to that before they go to school. Why? Because when they get to the school, they're hearing everything else, just the opposite. And we know that's very true. You know how it was when you was going to school, and just think how it is nowadays. I mean, they're being bombarded with everything we can imagine. And so as a parent, I want to set the atmosphere for them as they go to school. And so when they go to school, we're playing praise and worship. A lot of stuff we do on Sunday morning or things they like. I don't get out the Gaither hymns, you know. They don't like that, okay? So I'm very practical. I don't get out the Gaithers. I get out the stuff they like. I get out the stuff that I know they like. And we listen to them on the way to school as I drop them off. Now when I pick them up, we have Disney Channel cranking, man. You know, Hannah Montana, she's going. My son don't like her. She's going. And she's loud. That's all right because we're having fun. But you know what? I'm trying to create balance in my children's life. I'm trying to create a worship experience for them. And that's just not there. But often in your own, how many times we drive in our car and we listen? I mean, right now I love to listen to political news. This is a great time of the year. You want to listen to talk radio. You want to listen to the different talk radio shows and keep up what's going on with the campaign race and different things that are happening. Of course, the draft's coming up, and so sports radio is a must during this time. And other things that are happening, you know, I can very easily spend my whole day when I'm driving listening to them. And so I have to discipline myself and say, where's my balance? Am I just listening to this all day long, or am I spending time putting in some worship in my life? Because it affects the atmosphere of what I live. It affects my attitude. It affects my emotions. It affects my spiritual walk. And so I just, some very practical things, make sure, don't leave home without it, okay? Make sure in your collection of your CDs or your MP3 player, your iPod, whatever it is you have, that you have a collection of worship that you can stick in there and say, you know what, I'm going to use this time, just a little personal worship time. Some very practical things that will help you to grow, and we can do it by just applying to our life. You know, many of you here have told me that you download the messages to the iPod, to your iPod or to your iTunes. You can go online, mydestinychurch.com, and you can subscribe to that. You can get every message that we preach every Sunday directly. It'll automatically go to your iTunes. Download it down to your internet. So when you plug in your iPod, it'll be right on your iPod, and you can listen to Pastor Gene anytime you want to. Isn't that great? Yeah, I know. It's just a thrill for you. But many of you already do that, and you have told me that throughout the week that you're listening to the message again. And I just to tell you, this is another tool. Another tool that's available to you to use. I appreciate Garrett so much. Let me appreciate Garrett and his job on the internet and our website. He'll have today's message up there before the night's over with. And this evening, he'll have the message downloaded on there. If nothing goes wrong, he has it right on there. And usually any video we have, it's right on there. He's real quick to get it on there as fast as possible. And you're able to go and download that and listen to it throughout the week. I mean, just take advantage of some very practical things that you're learning. I learn by listening, by seeing, by driving. I'm listening to things. We're learning constantly. So take advantage of that and use some things to help you grow. Number five, spiritual growth is relational. Spiritual growth is relational. You know, this is one of the facts we talked about last week, this misconception that we can grow alone. Let me say this. You cannot grow alone. It's impossible. You cannot grow alone. Well, Pastor, all needs a Bible and me and God, and I can grow. And I can say you can grow in knowledge, but you're not going to grow spiritually the way God has for you. You cannot grow separate from the church. God's intended for you to grow through the local church. God's always intended for you to grow through the local church. Growth must happen in our life, and you cannot do it alone. It's more than just head knowledge. It's more than just listening to Bible studies on the radio. That's not growth. That's getting knowledge. You know what growth is? Growth is love. It's all about love. Love God with all your heart. Love your neighbors yourself. That's where you learn to grow. That's what Jesus was asked the question. What's the most important commands? What's the most important thing we can do? I mean, what a great question. If we could ask Jesus one question, wouldn't that be the question I would want to know? I would want to know that. If I could ask Jesus just one question, I would say, Jesus, what's the most important thing I can do? What's the most important thing to you that I can do? Jesus was asked that question, and here's his response, okay? He says, love God with all your heart. That means everything, man. You give up God, give God all your heart, who you are. You learn to love him with everything you are, and also love your neighbor as yourself. Pretty simple, isn't it? Pretty practical. But we can't do that alone. I can't love my neighbor if I'm not with my neighbor. I can't love people if I'm not around people. Well, I can love God, but I can't actually love people unless I'm around people. So it's important that I'm plugged into a local church. It's important that I get involved into a small group of people where I can learn to love them despite their faults, despite their shortcomings. And they learn to love me in spite of who I am. And we build relationships with each other. We're learning to do the biblical process of spiritual growth. You can't do it alone. The Bible says in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, let us be concerned for one another. Help one another to show love and to do good. To be concerned, to help show love to good to each other. I love this part here. It says, let us not give up the habit of meeting together, as some people are doing. Instead, let us encourage one another all the more. And I love this verse because I think, you know, Paul was really, you know, can you imagine Paul writing this verse? First of all, we see in the New Testament where they were breaking bread home to home. They went from home to home meeting, discussing the goodness of God. And God was adding to the church weekly, right? No. How was God adding to the church? Daily. Why? Because they were meeting in the homes. People were meeting and talking about God, and their neighbors were coming over, and they're telling, hey, this is what God's done in my life, and hey, won't you come and eat with us? And people were being saved every day, and God was adding to the church, not just weekly, but daily. And there's some people, according to Paul here, some have stopped meeting. They were stopped meeting in the homes. They had stopped going to their home group. And I love Paul's reaction here. He's writing this letter. It's not personal, you know. Hey, let's remember all to do the good things, and let's don't stop meeting together like some are in the habit of doing. I mean, I wonder who he's talking to here, you know. Can you imagine Paul writing this? As some are in the habit of doing. I think he knew exactly who he was writing to. He knew exactly the names. He didn't name them by name, but he said, some are in the habit of doing. And I say to you, some of you here, you've been in the habit of going to small groups and relationship-building groups, and those are great, and you've done it in the past, but I say to you, don't break that habit. Get involved. We need each other. It's a process of growth. We cannot grow alone. We cannot grow alone. We need each other to grow. The others who love God and love each other, we need each other to grow. You always grow best. You know what? You always grow best when you pass it on. And I think that's one of the most exciting things about being in a small group. It's not just being a part of a small group, but those who are leading a small group, man, they grow the most. Because you grow the most by passing it on to somebody. Passing on what God's speaking to you. Passing on what God's doing in your life. That's how you grow the most. We all need spiritual coaches in our life. We all need to be coaching somebody, and we all need someone coaching us. I believe that. Well, Pastor, I haven't been saved very long. I've only been saved 1 year. How can I coach anybody? Well, you can coach somebody who's only been saved 1 week. And you get coached by somebody who's only been saved 2 years. That's fine. You know, I don't have to be a genius to coach somebody, but I'm helping people who are just a little bit behind me, and I can help them catch up to where I am. And somebody's helping me go further. We all need spiritual coaches in our life. That's why these small groups are so, so important. Get involved in one of those. You know, if we don't give out, we get stagnant. How many know that? How many want that to be a stagnant? How many know what happens to stagnant water? It stinks, doesn't it? You've been around stagnant water, it gets mildew and it stinks. Why is that? You know why the Dead Sea is called the Dead Sea? Because things don't survive there. It dies because there's no outflow. There's no outflow. We see where the Sea of Galilee in North Jerusalem is actually, it receives this water, fresh water from the Jordan River, and it comes down from the mountains. They all coming down, the snow melts, and they fill that region. It's always getting fresh water. But the Dead Sea on the south side of Galilee, the south side, what happens there? Jerusalem, what happens there? There's no output. All it does is receive. It receives, but it has no output. And so when you go in that water, you can't even sink because it's so full of mineral deposits. It's so full of buildup there that you can't even sink in it. And nothing grows there but algae. That's it. And it stinks, man, because there's no outlet. There's no fresh outlet. And for some of us, we're the same way we are. We take in, we take in, we take in, we take in, and then we never have no outlet. And we spiritually, we stink. We wonder why we stink spiritually. It's because you're not giving out. We got to learn to give it out. God gives it to you if he can get it what? Through you. God will give it to you if he can get it through you. We've got to learn to let God not only take in, but to give it out. God has designed you and I to grow through the passing out, to giving out what he's called us to do. Number six, spiritual growth is multidimensional. It's multidimensional. You need worship experiences. You need fellowship experiences. You need discipleship experiences. You need ministry experiences. We grow through different multi-levels. It's multidimensional. That's why we don't just have just a Sunday morning service, but we have Sunday morning worship time, and then Wednesday nights we have Bible studies, and many times we have classes and electives, and we have men's and women's ministries in the summer, and we have different electives that are offered throughout the year because we grow differently. That's why we have small groups, because we grow relationally. And through discussing, as a church, we have a responsibility to offer as many ways of learning as possible because it is multidimensional. We grow warmer through our fellowship. We grow deeper through discipleship. We grow stronger through worship, broader through ministry. You see the different ways we grow by being connected to different things? If you're just connected to one way, then you're not growing the way God's continuing to grow. We grow warmer through fellowship, deeper through discipleship, stronger in worship, and broader through ministry. Spiritual growth is seasonal also. It's seasonal. And I think this one here will help you out a lot today. I want you to listen to me real good here because it's going to help a lot of you if you're not feeling guilty. Spiritual growth comes in spurts. It comes in spurts. How many know that when you was a kid, when you grew, did you grow in spurts? Yes. Remember that years you didn't grow at all? And you're like, man, everybody's so much bigger than me. You know, you wanted to wear higher heels. You were stuffing paper in the bottom of your shoes to make yourself higher, you know. You wanted the thickest soles you could get. I mean, you know, we wanted things. And then that next summer, you went back to school and you shot up 2-3 inches. You're like, whoa, you know, and your voice went like this, you know, to this. I mean, growth comes in spurts, and you know, we grow spiritually in spurts as well. That there's a season for growth, and there's a season that God is taking us through that we don't grow. Maybe our roots are growing deeper, but we don't see a lot of outward growth because we don't see a lot of fruit being produced. Is fruit produced from the tree 24/7? No. Fruit comes in what? Seasons. Fruit is produced in seasons. But there's a winter time, and there's a fall time and winter time that comes that a lot of times there's hardly any growth at all or nothing happening. But in the spring, the summer, wow, things are taking off. Things are taking shape, taking color. There, people are growing. We grow in spurts. If you grow a garden here, you know that things happen in spurts. The same thing happens to us spiritually, that some of you right now are walking through a winter in your life. You're walking through a fall season in your life, and you think, man, I just don't feel God the way I used to feel him. And we say, you know what? Church has changed. I just don't feel the same way I used to. And I will say this to you. Church hasn't changed. God hasn't changed. You have. And we're going through a season in our life when we just don't feel it. And I'll be honest with you and tell you this. As your pastor, I don't always feel it. You, pastor? No, I don't always feel it. But how many are glad today that I'm not led by what I always feel? As a Christian, I'm not called to be led about how I always feel. It's what I know. It's my faith in who God is that sustains me and that leads me. That I'm not called to be taken over by my emotions, but God has called me to go through the knowledge and faith in who he is. That's why God will take you through a season of not feeling it, because he is trying to build your faith. How can we live by faith if we always feel it? It doesn't take faith to feel it, to live for God when you always feel it. When you're always feeling it on cloud nine with God, it doesn't take much faith, does it? Because your feelings are riding there, and you can go with your feelings. But it takes faith when you don't feel it. When you don't feel it, you feel like, God, all right, I know that you're there, but I don't feel you as close as I used to. God, I know you're there, and but God, you're taking me through a season where I am learning to walk through this wintertime, even though there's no fruit coming out of my life, even though I don't feel that you're close to me. God, you're taking me through this season, and by faith, I know that you're there. And by faith, I know that the spring is coming. By faith, I know the summer is coming, and fruit will be reproduced once again in my life. And it's through those times of serving God in my winter time, in my non-productive time, that my roots are growing. God, I know you're still there. God, by faith, I know you're still on the throne. But God, I know you're still watching over me. God, I know you're still there protecting me. God, I know you're still there, and my roots of faith are spreading out. And then I come through a season of spring and summer, and my roots have taken deep, and all of a sudden I'm producing fruit. And I begin to speak the word of the Lord again. His spirit is coming to me, and I'm weeping again. And I just feel so close to God, and I'm reaching people, and I'm giving out because the fruit is coming. But today, if you're not feeling it just right now, I say it's okay. You're going through a time of winter. And that's all right, because growth comes in spurts. And the last thing I want to say to you today as we close, spiritual growth, it's incarnational. What I mean by that is this, it's Jesus Christ living in you. Galatians 2:20 says it like this, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live in my body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The goal of the Christian walk is not to imitate Christ. Do you realize that? Some of you remain blown away. What do you mean not to imitate Christ? We would all be like Christ. I know, listen, chill out. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. What I mean is this, that I can never be like Christ. Much as I try, I'm never going to be like him. I'm not called just to try to imitate him. I'm called to accept him. I'm called to allow his spirit to come in my life. I'm called to be led by his spirit. And so spiritual growth is learning, you know what? It's Christ in me that I've got to learn to do. It's Christ in me that enables me to do the thing I cannot do on my own. It's through the power of the cross of Jesus Christ that he came. And if I accept his spirit in my life, if I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I allow him to work through me. I allow him to work through me. And as I do that, I will learn to grow spiritually. This life that God has called me to, it's a life of commitment to him. I've got to relax and say, you know what? It's Jesus Christ working through me. It's Jesus Christ that wants to work through me. He'll reach people through me. I'll tell the truth. Once he works through me, I'll keep my commitments. I'll trust in the Lord as he works through me. It's not imitation. It's inhabitation. I inhabit the Holy Spirit in my life. I inhabit God's Spirit in my life. Say, God, you inhabit this temple. God, you fill this temple with your Holy Spirit. As I inhabit you, I don't want to just, be a person who tries to act like you, but I want to work through you. It's not imitation, it's inhabitation. Allowing the Holy Spirit to inhabit my life, to fill my life, and to take me to the next level. Practical ways of growing. As the musicians come this morning, I'm going to close out this message. I believe today that God has got every one of us in a place, that he's wanting every one of us to grow. He's wanting every one of us to go to the next level spiritually. And that comes in stages. It comes in stages. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads this morning. And today, as we close out the service, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and bow your head. I'm going to ask you a personal question. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I hear you talking about growing in stages, and I need to say, first of all, that I just need to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. That's the first stage. I'm not even at that stage yet. Maybe you're like the many people this month. Maybe you're like the people this month who I've already given their heart to Christ. Maybe you're like the 10 people in the last 3 weeks who have given their heart to Christ in a service like this. You've raised your hands. Maybe you'd like them today and say, you know what? I need to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. With nobody looking around but me, if you're here today and say, Pastor, I want to accept Jesus Christ. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I want to give you a chance just to make that decision by raising your hand today. Can you raise your hand if that's me, Pastor? I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior today. I want to make him Lord of my life. Can you raise a high? I want to give you that chance today. Most important decision you can ever make. Anybody here today, you want to raise your hand and say, it's me.
great. For all Christians here today, then I'm going to invite you to stand with me. Can we do something today? We don't always do this, but I'm going to invite you to come down to the front with me. Can you come to the front and stand up along the front here? We're going to close out with a song here together, and I want to pray for you before we leave today. This is a response to God's word. Many times it's good just to come up to the altar and just to come to the front as a sign of response to what God's speaking to your heart today. As you crowd in today, I want you to come in. If we can spread out a little bit, make room for everybody. Just kind of scoot around this way a little bit, guys. Make a little more room this way. I want just to challenge you. As your pastor, as I talked about last week, that my challenge to you is that you continue to grow. Continue to grow in God's grace and knowledge, that you don't ever get satisfied where you're at. Know that we're called to continue to grow in level and stages. And so as your pastor, I'm going to challenge you to do that. I made that commitment. Remember a couple months ago when I asked you to make that commitment, I'll train you. I'll be ready to feed you. Let's commit to doing the work of the ministry together. And you guys said, yes, we're going to do that. And so this is just another commitment time for you to come to the front and say, you know what? I want to make a commitment today to saying, God, I want to grow in you. I want to become the champion that you called me to be. So look around. I've seen so much growth in so many people here over the last few years, and some over the last year, some over the last few months. Seeing God at work in your life, to see what God's doing in your heart, it just thrills my heart as a pastor to see you grow. And I just say to you, don't settle for where you're at, but go to the next level. Allow God to reveal the champion that he's called you to be. And that comes through your commitments. Very practical things. I'm saying, God, you know what? I'm unique. And God, you created me unique, and you have a unique call for my life. You have a unique way of me learning. You have a unique way of growing me. But my response to you is, God, yes. Yes. Yes, God. Challenge me. Yes, God, push me. Yes, God, plant me. Yes, God, use me. Take me to a new level. I'm going to pray with you today, and then we're going to sing the song in closing. Father, today I pray for every person along the front today. I pray that your Holy Spirit, Father, your Holy Spirit today will come. We're challenging our hearts not to stay the same, but God, to learn to seek after you in your ways, to seek after your righteousness. And God, as we do that, Lord, we know that you never called us to stay stagnant. You never called us to stay where we're at. And every one of us are here. We're at different levels in our life. Some of us are going through crisis. Some of us are going through some pain we're still working through. And that's okay, because you're a gracious God. You're a loving God. And today you're wrapping your arms of love around us today. Other of us here today, Lord, you're taking us to another level, God. You're calling us out of our hurt, and you're calling us out of our pain, and you're asking us to step out and begin to trust you again in the way we have it. Others here today, you're calling us out to get more involved and begin to show your love in the way we have it, to teach and to lead, to serve the body of Christ in a new level. God, where we're at today, we're at different levels. I just pray that our commitment and our heart would be yes to you. Yes, Holy Spirit, to you. That you would come, take me to a new level. That I would learn to go from come and see to a person who lays down his life daily, takes up his cross, and I will follow after you, pursuing who you are in my life, pursuing the sacrifices you're asking me to make, pursuing the relationship you've asked me to commit to you. Father, I pray that your Spirit would lead them today. Empower us today. Amen. Amen. Let's sing a song together.
I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. Nothing else can take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find a way. Bring me back to you.
Make it personal today.
You're all I've ever needed. close to you.
Never let me go.
Never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend.
My desire.
You are my. Feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find a way. Bring me back to you.
Bring me back to
you. Come on, tell them today. God, you are drawing close to us. Take us to a new level. Design us, you already have. Now develop us. Reveal in us the champion you've called us to be. And we say yes to that together. Amen? Amen. God bless you today. Shake a hand, hug a neck next to you. Make sure you stop by the back table. Sign up for the marriage retreat. Also, if you want to be involved in a small group, there's a whole bunch of small groups in the very back. You can grab a brochure and find out where to meet at. God bless you.